Hey, it's Dolo White, and this is the Dolo White Podcast. Now, when I think of NASCAR, I don't think of diversity. I mean, I'm white, but I'm not like NASCAR white. And I grew up in the South, but not like the NASCAR South. I, like many of you, have a certain stereotypical vision of who the average NASCAR fan is, and nothing about that stereotype makes me want to get into NASCAR. But as we all know, stereotypes aren't always great for humanity, and to NASCAR's credit, they have been taking steps to diversify the sport. And one of the people undertaking that monumental task is my guest today, Eric Moses. He is the president and CEO of the Nashville Super Speedway and the very first African-American president of a NASCAR track in its 73-year history, which, when you think about it, is insane. I mean, we had a black president of the United States before a black president of a NASCAR track, but unfortunately, that's probably true for a lot of companies and a lot of industries, not just car racing, which obviously needs to change. So here we go. Let's see if Eric Moses can convince any of us to give NASCAR a chance. Welcome to the Dolo White Podcast.
Live. Yeah. This is not live. It's completely recorded.
Broadcasting from one of the top recording studios in all of Nashville, Tennessee.
Yeah, that's not true at all. I'm probably at home doing this.
He's been called one of the greatest thinkers of his time.
Literally no one has ever called me that. I do kind of agree with it, though. Right
here. A 2017 recipient of the Nobel Peace Prize.
That's just a flat out lie.
Talking politics, community, race, religion, entertainment, sports, and whatever the fuck else. Yeah. It's the Dolo White Podcast.
Episode 27 now of the Dolo White Podcast. My guest today, the president and CEO of the Nashville Super Speedway and the very first African-American president of a NASCAR track in its 73-year history. Eric Moses, welcome in. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me, man. Big fan.
Let's just get your background to start off. Like, how did you get from point A to here?
So I'm a sports and entertainment kind of industry veteran and executive. I ran multiple buildings in Washington, D.C. I was a sports commissioner in Washington for about 11 years. Before coming here, I was a founding president of an XFL spring football team in Washington, D.C. So I've been in sports for a while. I am new to NASCAR. This is my first foray into NASCAR. But as I tell people all the time, the fundamentals of this business and of the sports and entertainment business is the same. You sell tickets, you advertise, you sell sponsorship, you sell popcorn, you sell beer, you sell parking. It's all the same.
Right.
You reach out to the community. You make certain you have strong partnerships across the board in the community. And that's what I'm doing. The only thing that's different is the context.
Were you hesitant about taking a job with NASCAR? Like, how did you specifically get in that door? Because as we talked about even before we started recording this, NASCAR's had a reputation in the past, and they're doing things now to try to get rid of that reputation or make their reputation something different and something better. Were you personally hesitant before jumping on board with NASCAR?
A little, but the more I learned about the NASCAR ecosystem and the more I paid attention to what the sport has been doing over the last kind of year and a half, the less concerned I was. I also like challenges. I mean, you know, I joke with my friends that I'm either a glutton for punishment or a fool or a little bit of both, but I like to do big, ambitious things in short periods of time, you know, against the odds or what have you. And this fell into that. I will tell you that the appeal of this city was a big part of me feeling more comfortable with taking on this specific challenge, knowing that people in Middle Tennessee love NASCAR, knowing that this city was a city on the rise. It reminded me a lot of the Washington, D.C. I found in the mid-90s that was cranes everywhere and 1,000 new residents a month moving in and, you know, young people coming to start their careers, older people moving downtown to be near culture and restaurants and other stuff at the end of their careers when they're empty nesters. All of that stuff is present here and you can feel that energy in Nashville. And so that part made me feel a lot more comfortable. And since I've gotten here, I can tell it was the right decision.
How has it been reaching out to a demographic that has never taken an interest in that sport? I mean, you're out trying to diversify NASCAR, and traditionally NASCAR is not a diverse sport. Like, it feels like you're kind of a glutton for punishment. Like, it feels like you have a huge uphill battle here, man. Like, if you offered me this job and you're like, hey, I want to diversify NASCAR races, I'd be like, all right, well, how much are you going to pay me? How long am I going to have this job? And at what point are you going to fire me for not performing? Like, that? I mean, it just seems like a big job.
It's a big job, but, you know, I'm not the only one trying to do that. I mean, the sport itself, like any other business, has to figure out how to expand its fan/consumer base. And NASCAR is doing that. What I will tell you is I had my first official NASCAR experience in October of 2019 at our sister track in Dover, Delaware, at the Monster Mile. And I came in with all the stereotypes that we all have about what I was going to experience. And I will tell you that it was a more diverse experience from the fan zone into the pits and everywhere in between. I'll tell you a very quick story. So I get there, I walk down into the pits, and I see a young man who's black with a fire suit on. I have an XFL pullover on because I was working for the XFL at that time. He looks at me and says, "Hey, do you run the team in DC for the XFL?" And I'm thinking, who's punking me here, right? Like, I ain't famous. There's no way he knows who I am. Long story short, he was a former college football player who had been recruited through our Drive for Diversity program in NASCAR onto a pit crew because they need athletes who can lift heavy things, tires, who can move quickly, you know, jack men and people who take tires on and off, tire changers and all that kind of stuff. And he was aware of the league because he still followed football, but he was in NASCAR. So I'm like, wow, okay, that's different. Leave that and walking out of the pit area, and I see an older white man and his wife. Stereotypical, out of central casting of NASCAR fans, what you would expect, right? What do I see him doing? In his left hand is a little brown child who looks like he's about 5 years old. In his wife's right hand is the hand of a little brown girl who looks like she's around the same age. I don't know. I didn't talk to them. I bet you those were their grandkids that they had at the racetrack. And these folks look like your typical kind of, you know, NASCAR fans. Those two things and other things that I've experienced since then kind of made me start to look at and think differently about NASCAR. And what I've found since I started working in this job is that there are more of us in up and down the line and in every part of this sport than most people think.
You know, you said something that blew my mind just now, saying that the pit crews are athletes, because I don't think we think about that. We think about them being mechanics, you know what I mean? But they do have to be athletes because they're in a rush to do their job. I know nothing about NASCAR, but I know if you have a blown tire, you got to get the thing changed as fast as possible.
A pit stop needs to happen in 13 seconds or less.
Yeah. And
that could be changing all four tires, putting gas in the car, and any other adjustments that have to happen. You need people who can move quickly and who are strong.
So since you've been on this job, which you said it's been how long now?
Since I got it announced in August, started officially September 14th.
Have you really gotten into the sport more?
Yeah.
If there's not one going on at your venue, are you like watching it like
every weekend?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Part of it is the getting smart about your gig. Right. But the other part of it is this is a sport, man, that there's so much happening that is not obvious to the naked eye, if you will. Right. Okay. If you sit at home and you turn on the Driding 400 at our track in Dover, you see cars going around the circle and guys driving. You don't appreciate what it takes to make those cars perform the way that they do. The fact that those cars are built in race shops, mostly in Charlotte and outside of Charlotte, but built for these teams from scratch. They're built. These guys sit in a car for 4 hours. They lose 10, 15 pounds a race because they're sitting in a car for that long, sweating out all of that. It is amazing what they do. And now because I have more insight into what it takes to do what they're doing, I have much more interest in it. And that's why talking to folks like yourself and your audience and others and trying to get people an appreciation for our sport is really incumbent upon all of us in the sport to make certain folks understand it's a really cool sport with a lot of people who have to be involved and contribute to see success on the track.
You mentioned when we were talking before we started recording the Kentucky Derby and how you would like to see your Speedway, Nashville Super Speedway, kind of be like the Kentucky Derby where I didn't know, honestly, I did not know the Kentucky Derby was a thing until I moved to Nashville 20 years ago. I thought it was, you know, a bunch of old white folks watching horses race, but it is an event. And if you live anywhere near or around Louisville, I think it's more known now. But 20 years ago, I had no idea that, like, I remember back then, Nashville was like a ghost town the week of the Derby because everybody went to Louisville. And it's now become like this big star-studded event. And so to get NASCAR to that level, what is it that you think you have to do?
It is putting together an event where multiple kind of audiences, if you will, see themselves in that event, represented in that event. They see something for them to do. They see a way that that event is engaging them. And so, you know, the Derby's one day, and it's the most exciting, what is it, like 2 minutes or five minutes or something like that. But there are parties all week. There's stuff going on all the time. It's a see and be seen kind of environment. We have to create that here. And what better place to create something like that than in Nashville? Right? People want to come to Nashville anyway. We're giving them another reason to come here and a different kind of feel. So, yeah, you can come for our race weekend, and we want to have concerts, and we want to have parties, and we want to have maybe music summits and other kinds of things like that that are going on in the city while you're here that weekend. And if you want to be down on Broadway and take advantage of that, great. If you want to go to the Grand Ole Opry, fantastic. All of that kind of stuff we can put together. What I want to do is make certain that we continue to serve and super serve our core fans who have been there for us,
right,
but that we invite other fans into it and people who are interested in fun experiences to come out to the track and to have fun with us.
Let's run down some of the things that NASCAR has done as a company to try to diversify. I know they eliminated the Confederate flag from their events. What else have they done?
Yeah, so the Drive for Diversity program has been ongoing for 20 years or so. And that is the program that is specifically intended to help bring minorities and women into pit crews and into the driver's seat. And so that's been going on for a long time. There's also an internship program. I just got named along with several other industry leaders from sponsors, drivers, team owners, and NASCAR execs to an industry diversity, equity, and inclusion committee, first of its kind for NASCAR. So we're looking at these issues and figuring out how do we go about saying to the world more broadly, we're a sport for everyone where everyone is welcome. I think kudos to NASCAR for getting rid of the Confederate flag. That symbol was probably the biggest barrier to people, not just black people, not just people of color, but people of conscience from coming to the sport. Because it's a big kind of stop sign to so many of us.
Yeah.
And so I think with removing that barrier, it gives us an opportunity to do outreach to diverse audiences and to say, why don't you come give us a try? You know, see what you think. If you can go to the Derby and watch horses race, you don't know anything about jockeys, you don't know anything about horse racing, but you're willing to give that a try, come out here. This is a quintessential American sport and a sport born and grown out of the southeastern United States. And so in a place like Nashville, it's a perfect match.
I think another struggle you're going to have, especially with trying to diversify your actual drivers is, I mean, I grew up 20 minutes south of Atlanta, and I couldn't tell you how to become a NASCAR driver. I could tell you the road to becoming a football player, a basketball player, a baseball player. I don't know how NASCAR drivers become NASCAR drivers.
Yep.
So how do you fix that problem? How do you become a NASCAR driver?
It's a great question, and it's about education. I mean, the short story is most kids start off driving go-karts.
Okay.
And then from go-karts, you move up to essentially bigger and faster vehicles all the way kind of up a circuit. But you're right. Like, what's the reference point? Mm-hmm. But how is that any different from anything else our people are trying to find out about? How do you become a stockbroker? How do you become a television producer? How do you become a radio host? How do you become a track president? We need to do a better job of exposing young people of color, women, and others to all of these various avenues that they can pursue. And NASCAR and motorsports is just one of those things.
That's a great answer that I wasn't expecting you to take all the way around there. I think that I'm willing to try anything, and I'd be willing to come to a NASCAR race because I've heard that the experience, what you experience when you're there and what you experience watching it on television, two totally different experiences. Obviously, the one being better is that you're there. So what is kind of the difference in the race and the difference in the product that we see on television as opposed to being there?
You can't recreate that roar and rumble, right? I mean, the fumes, the smell of the tires, like all of that stuff and just all of the activity. I mean, you have 40 cars on the track at the same time, inches away from each other often at 150, 170 miles an hour. Now, remember, they have a rear view mirror in the car, but no side mirrors. They can't turn their heads because they're locked into a device that keeps them from snapping their necks if they happen to crash or something like that. So there's a guy called a spotter or a woman who's standing on top of a tower hundreds of yards away with binoculars telling the driver in his radio, you're clear on the right, You got two on your left. Mm. You can move. It is amazing what they do. And you get to see that in person, and you get to feel that in a more primal way than I think you can on television. So that's the big thing. And there's the pageantry of it all, and the people, the campers. We'll have 800 to 1,000 RVs out there with people camping. It's a big part of the NASCAR culture. It's people driving in, staying for multiple days in their campers and basically living at the track for 3 or 4 days. You don't get that stuff when you're watching.
Is it kind of like a tailgate, maybe?
It is like a tailgate for 4 days. Yeah, wow. It's a multiple day tailgate. Yeah, yeah. But we want to do things like tailgating. I mean, you've probably heard. I mean, you're from Georgia. You know, Talladega is a huge track. The parties and the stuff that goes on in the campgrounds at Talladega is legendary. You know, we want people to have that kind of experience.
I think a lot of people, especially probably in my age group, our vision of NASCAR comes a lot from Talladega Nights with Will Ferrell's movie, which probably not a great look for NASCAR, but at the same time, maybe it is because it was a great movie if you like Will Ferrell movies, which I do. But
who doesn't?
Yeah.
I mean, not anybody in their right mind.
Yeah. Like, I don't know how you can't like Will Ferrell. But So I think that is our vision and what we know about NASCAR. Because, I mean, when it comes on SportsCenter, maybe we either turn it off in our head because it's not something we're necessarily interested in. But what you just described to me, especially with the spotter, I used to think soccer goalies had the highest pressure in sports. But that spotter, that's not a job I would want to have.
There's a lot riding on that. It's funny that you mentioned hockey because I view the NASCAR experience not exactly like hockey, but the difference between watching it on television and being in person. People used to say to me all the time, you know, oh, you don't like hockey? You have to go. Yeah. You got to sit close to the boards. You got to go down there. And they were right. You can't appreciate the speed of those guys on those skates the way you can when you're there.
Right.
I think that same phenomenon is one that NASCAR definitely has. Just being able to see how quickly they're getting around a mile and a third track, which is what we are, it's amazing.
How long is the typical NASCAR race, like, time-wise?
Cup Series race about 3 to 4 hours, 400 miles. But the Xfinity Series race, which for us is on Saturday, is about half that time. And so what I've said, and I'd say this to your audience, for those who want to figure out how to dip their toe in the water, you know, our Xfinity Series race on Saturday is a shorter race, and frankly, the tickets are cheaper because it is one of the lower circuits, still pros, still guys and gals who are fantastic, you know, drivers, but they're trying to make their way to the highest level of competition, which is the NASCAR Cup Series.
What keeps fans engaged in NASCAR for 4 straight hours? Because, I mean, I know nothing about it. So, to me, it's cars going round and round. It seems like the last couple laps would be the thing that are the most intriguing. What keeps people locked in for the other however many laps? 500 laps sometimes, right?
Yeah. I think it's, one, watching the lead changes, right? And the thing that's always kind of lurking in the background are wrecks.
Yeah.
Right. You know, and like it or not, I think all NASCAR fans want drivers to be able to go home that evening safe. But we like danger. This is like people go to hockey games. They want to see fights.
Yeah.
Like we like that. And so seeing them rubbing, seeing guys get passed, seeing somebody get turned around and seeing the occasional wreck is something that I think makes you not want to leave your seat necessarily.
Right.
But like any other sport, we're a country and a people of short attention spans.
We are.
So I can
it's
remember
shorter.
Yeah, yeah. I can remember going to Wizards games in D.C. Yeah, most of the time I'm in the club in the back, you know, watching it on television, talking to people, eating and drinking and all that kind of stuff. I mean, you see that across sports.
Right.
But the energy of being there in person, especially coming out of a pandemic when we haven't been able to be in person and have shared experiences with people, we think it's just going to be a fabulous opportunity this year and into the future.
What is kind of the calendar of events? What does the NASCAR season look like? And what is the calendar of events for Nashville Super Speedway this year?
Yeah, so the NASCAR season starts in February at Daytona 500, and then ends in November with the end of our playoffs, usually in Phoenix.
It's a long season.
It's a long season. Yeah. It's kind of like Major League Soccer,
yeah.
You know, and baseball. You know, they take up most of your year.
Yeah.
For us and for most tracks, if you're a track like, say, Bristol in eastern Tennessee that's historic and been around forever, you'll have two NASCAR weekends. So two weekends at different times of the year where the big boys will come to town to race. We're a new track, if you will, having a cup race for the first time. So it's essentially, think of it like a three-day festival. We run trucks Friday night under the lights, which is going to be pretty cool. We have the Xfinity cars on Saturday, and then we have the cup cars on Sunday. And so it's like a three-day festival. And then the rest of the year, my challenge is music festivals, barbecue and bacon festivals, college football games, youth soccer tournaments, and everything in between. We've got 25,000 seats. We've got luxury suite boxes, and I sit on 700 plus acres. And so we are looking to do all manner of things out there to take advantage of the venue and the property.
What weekend is it again on the Cup Series?
Father's Day weekend is ours, June 18th through the 20th.
All right. So Father's Day weekend is the time to. That's actually a great weekend if you guys keep. I don't know if it's going to be Father's Day weekend every year, but I mean that'd be a great weekend, I would think, for NASCAR race to.
Well, as you can imagine, the promoter in me likes date certainty.
Yes. Right?
So people can plan year over year to come here. So I hope that's going to be the case.
Eric Moses, anything else we need to know?
NashvilleSuperspeedway.com is where you need to go to get all your information about our race weekend and about our venue. And, everyone is welcome. We want people to come out. It's going to be a great opportunity, and it's only going to grow year over year. Once we get past this pandemic and we're able to really engage, you can look forward to us having a week worth of programming leading up to our NASCAR weekend.
Looking forward to it, man. Thank you for doing this.
I appreciate you.
I want to say thank you once again to my guest, Eric Moses, the president and CEO of the Nashville Super Speedway. You can follow Eric on IG right now at Nashville's Prez. That's Nashville's with two S's, P-R-E-Z. Thank you to Eric Moses for coming on the podcast. Follow me on the gram as well, at DolaWhite101, D-O-L-E-W-I-T-E 101. My handle is the same for Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Clubhouse, everything across the board. Thank you once again for checking out the podcast. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, let me remind you again, please leave me that 5-star review. It means a lot. And if you feel so inclined, write a review as well, as long as it's good. If it's bad, you can DM that to me, or you can just be a nice person and forget about it altogether. Anyway, brand new episode drops Monday. My guest will be Thomas Moore, the author of Soul Therapy. Dope book. Dope episode. Check that out first thing Monday morning. And make sure you subscribe no matter what the platform you're on. Back at it with a brand new episode Monday. I'm gone.